You're listening live to Right Side Radio with Phil Williams. It's hard to go wrong when you're on the right side. Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right.
Alabama's syndicated news talk leader, Right Side Radio. Phil Williams here live in the Right Side studio, local, state, national man. We are covering down on all the issues, and like the dude just said, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, listen, we got Stephanie Smith calling in momentarily. We're working on the phone lines right now, so I suspect we'll see her momentarily. But when she comes in, you just got to know that the things that are happening in Montgomery, man, we got... This is a major year. All right, we got stuff happening down there right now that we've never seen before, like the level of tax cut possibilities. That's good. School choice, which is always needed, and we passed some several years ago when I was down there, and then it came to a complete grinding halt. We've got other things that I didn't even talk about yet, like dealing with issues related to retail theft, and then are they actually raising taxes with that 988 line? Well. Anyway, on the phone right now, Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, who always has her finger on the pulse of what's happening down in Montgomery. Without further ado, let me just welcome her on. Stephanie Smith, how are you doing?
I'm doing fine. How are you, Phil?
I'm good. All right, so we missed you last Friday. We usually have you in at the end of the week to tell us what's happening in the world.
Right.
But I know that you were at some big wig conference or something. I don't know where you're at. You're out gallivanting.
Yes, all the big wigs were there. So it was good. It was really informational, and I've never spent a whole lot of time out in Colorado, so I enjoyed it.
Oh, now, where were you in Colorado, by the way?
Colorado Springs.
I love Springs. I used to be on staff with a ministry called Young Life, and the headquarters was in Colorado Springs. So yeah, big, great place.
Yeah.
Yes, of course.
My oldest daughter volunteers for Young Life.
So. Oh, does she really? No kidding.
Yeah,
we got to talk about that.
Down in Auburn.
Well, that's okay. That's beyond cool. Now we got to catch up on more stuff later on. Then.
Perfect.
Hey, tell me this. I know you're tracking the school choice bill and what happened this week.
Absolutely.
What are your thoughts on the fact that Senator Chestine, decided to hold an entire public hearing and then refer it to another committee altogether?
Yeah, and I don't know if you've talked directly to Larry Stutz. I'm sure you probably have, but that was a frustrating moment in that, in the negotiations and discussions about that bill. I mean, how long have we been talking about that bill now? Everybody knew it was coming. Lots of people had read it. Lots of people understood it before it even was filed. And we actually had some discussions with the leadership about where that should be in both the House and the Senate, because it's one of those bills that is education policy, but also has a price tag. But almost every bill has a price tag. It's one of those things that now it seems like that's a little bit of a tactic that's being employed, which is if anything has a price tag, then they were trying to push it through the budget committee. So we asked the question ahead of time, which one should it go to? And actually, the sponsor, who is Larry Stutz, asked for it to go to the Education Budget Committee, and he was told no, it needed to go through Education Policy. So it went to Education Policy, of which he is on the committee, and then was told at the meeting and not prior to that, no, actually, they had done this public hearing, but they're not going to vote on this. Now they're going to send it to the Budget Committee, and then if the Budget Committee approves it, then it will come back to policy for another discussion.
I'm going to tell you right now, that's a chump move. That is a chump move on the part of the budget chair, or the committee chairman. And it makes it even worse if what you're telling me is that the bill sponsor, Larry Stutz, who sits on that committee and has been in the Senate longer than Donnie Chestine has, by the way, if he did not even know until he got there that they were going to do that to him, that to me is unprofessional, and it smacks of just, some special interest got involved, like the teachers union, and mucked things up.
It was more than frustrating for those of us who have been working on this bill, for 6 months or more, on a daily basis. But it's one of those things to me, and you and I are similar, Phil, in that we're process people. And so at what point does this stop? meaning, you know, and not even specifically for this bill. You know, some of the rule changes that happened down in the House created this situation or codified. It's not really in code, but, you know, solidified the idea that leadership can send committees, send bills to more than one committee. And, you know, we all watched how a bill became a law and Schoolhouse Rock and all those things. But when you're playing ping pong with bills and pieces of legislation and you really don't know how to work the process, if the process, you know, is changing daily.
No, and that's not the way it's supposed to work. Now, I have seen bad bills get stymied in committee. I've seen that. And I've seen bad bills get amended in committee, but I've also seen bad bills get voted down in committee, which is part of the process. And this didn't happen. They didn't even give it that. They didn't give it that look. I mean, I was the only one that I remember that used to do this, but I said on the air yesterday when I heard all this news was that, that my rule when I chaired the Fiscal Responsibility Economic Development Committee was we will have a public hearing if requested and a vote on the same day unless the bill sponsor asked me not to.
I think that's a good policy.
And it just and that moves things. And if you're scared to vote, then don't show up that day.
But take a walk.
Take a walk, which they do all the time. So school choice still alive. What's happening in the House with it? Do we know?
It's going to be an education policy committee, very similar circumstances next week.
Are they going to do the same thing to it down there?
I would not be surprised.
Wow. Okay. I guess I know what I'm writing my op-ed on next week. all right. So what else do you know? What else do you see down there?
The same discussions have been happening in the House, and it's one of those. It's valid on like I said, it's valid on one side, and that it is a complicated piece of legislation. And it does have a significant dollar amount, but find me a piece of legislation that doesn't. Besides, like our state potato or something. Anything that matters is going to be complicated to a certain degree, and anything that has any significant change is probably going to have a price tag. So it's just that this top-down mentality is just really not helpful to the process.
Do we have a state potato?
I just made that up.
We do have the state cake, which became quite a source of contention when Senator Billy Beasley, like 3 years in a row, kept coming back determined to make the Lane cake a state cake. And several folks had tasted it and said, "That cake's awful. Why would we do this?"
I don't even know what that is.
I know. And I've eaten a lot of cake in my day, and I've never had a Lane cake.
Same here.
We had that's samplings, and I think he lost votes because of samplings.
And it didn't help.
No.
That's hilarious.
What else you see down there?
Some good news is, I think, that after 25 years of discussion, there's actually some movement on the grocery tax bill.
Yeah. Yeah.
What are your thoughts on that?
Well, my thoughts are good. I mean, when you see 35 members of the Senate and the lieutenant governor all coming out and going, "We like this bill," that's good news. And now the bill kind of changes things. It cuts it in half right away, but then it kind of goes to a pause mode. But it's a start.
And it's dependent upon growth.
Yeah.
And it's honestly a little bit more narrow than I would like to see it, but not as narrow as it started out. And so
that's
been something that we've been working on and negotiating. And, my take on it, I started working in Alabama politics when I was 21, and that was a few years ago. And we've been talking about this for literally the entire time I've been involved, back to the Joe Knight days. And this is one of those tax cuts that's bipartisan and really just something that is actually going to help, the average Alabamian. So to me, I think it's a win. I think it's a positive for, everybody at the grocery store. And I think it's an acknowledgement that we do have the surpluses. We do have enough money in the coffers. And we want to be responsible, but we also want to return the money to the people. And I think that that's the right message.
And maybe we actually have some Republicans in the legislature.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So, and I do know that Danny Garrett is carrying that bill in the House as well. So that's a good indicator.
The new version is the one that was dropped in by Senator Jones, who took my place in District 10. So is he carrying the Senate and then Garrett's carrying it in the House, you said?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that's a good sign. That means we're going to do something, I think.
I think so. And I don't know. I should probably know, but I don't. I can look it up or figure it out. I don't know how often you have 35 co-sponsors in the Senate, but it's not that often.
No, it's so it's rare.
I think this is a good indication that all the wheels have been greased to the correct trajectory this time.
Yeah, I mean, even down to the point that Senator Orr had the original grocery tax bill, and he co-sponsors this one as well. That tells me the caucus has met. I think the lieutenant governor's office got very involved in this one too, because the press release came from the lieutenant governor's office, and I think he went around and got the 35 signatures. So, you know,
yes, he definitely led on this issue for sure.
Real quick, have you seen the bill that would ban drag queen shows when children are present?
I have. I saw an early draft of that bill, and we've been part of those discussions. And I was glad to see that it was filed this week.
Well, I was too, and I know that API, the Policy Institute, where you are the president now, is not just a fiscally conservative. You care about the cultural aspects too, and y'all affiliate not just with the state policy networks and others, but you also affiliate with the Family Research Council's groups, the FPCs.
That's right. And that bill is one that we've been working on. The Pregnancy Resource Center bill is one that we've been working on. We had worked on the adoption bill. We've been working on some language for the Safe Haven bill. We've been working on several, social, what people would term social conservative issues this session as well. That drag show bill is one of them. And to me, it's a no-brainer. I mean, it's one of those things when all this talk of drag show story hour at the public library started cropping up. You're just kind of shaking your head, you know, with the face, like, what, you know, why is this legal?
Yeah.
And as a mother of young kids, that immediately was one of those, you know, this shouldn't happen. Let's not let this happen under our watch.
Well, I'm glad y'all are working. Listen, we're already out of time, but anything else you want us to know about things y'all are working on, throw it in right now, and also tell us where we can find you if folks want to chime in.
Well, you can find us at alabamapolicy.org, and we have a lot of the issues that we are following and working on right there on the website, so you can read about them right there.
All right. Stephanie Smith, president of the Alabama Policy Institute, thanks so much for your time, my friend.
I appreciate you, Phil.
All right, take care. Well, I tell you what, we'll take a break right now. We'll come back, and I'll wrap this thing up. If you got any comments on it, you want to call in, you're welcome to it, 833-687-4448. That's 833-68-RIGHT. Text it or call it. In the meantime, we'll come right back and finish up the legislative roundup and then head into number two on the Triple Dipper. Y'all stay tuned. We'll be right back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right, saving the world one soundbite at a time. Hey, I got some callers who held on during the break, so I'll take those real quick. Line one, Brian Huntsville. How you doing, Brian?
Doing well, except for George Thorogood, bad to the bone. That's my ringtone.
It kind of freaked you out, like your phone was ringing while you're on it, huh?
Precisely. However, the 98 cents per month for the 988 bill, I think that's where I got the correlation for and everything. And
right.
I agree, suicide prevention, we need to have that. But then again, how many people have committed suicide over taxes in their life? And is this an account or per device on the account? If I got an iPhone, an iPad, my daughters all have the same thing, my wife does. Am I going up to about $8, $10 per month on that?
What I'm seeing here is it's all, here's what it says in the article. I'm reading 1819's article. It says all landline, wireless, and wireless voice communication services will have a monthly surcharge. So I think it's per device, but I don't think it's going to hit your iPad and stuff like that. I think it's going to be your cell phone, your landline, your work phone, stuff like that.
Yeah, but if your iPad has a connection through Verizon or someplace else, and it can be used
that's a point.
As such a device.
I don't know, man. That's a good point.
And how much is going to hit a business with, say, 20, 30 phones?
You know, that's a great point. Surely to goodness, he's got to do the plan, because like here at Right Side, we have a multi-phone line, because sometimes we have, you know, 5-6 callers on at one time.
Yes,
dang, bro. You just hit me.
I'll do some more research, but man, it hit me. I thought, man, there's people out there. You got, and churches may be exempt, but some of those have 15, 20 lines as well.
Oh, yeah. And so you've got, by the way, the person sponsoring this act is Rex Reynolds from Huntsville. So check him out.
Rex. All right, I shall, sir. And thank you. I just wanted to toss it out there.
All right, thanks, Brian. Appreciate you, man. Have a great weekend. Let me go to line two, Nate from Newmarket. Nate, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Phil. How about yourself?
I'm good, sir. I'm good. What's on your mind?
Well, I had a question for you. I know you were in the state legislature.
Right.
With respect to these two bills, the Price Act and the Grocery Tax.
Right.
I have contacted my state representative probably 3 to 4 times, asking what their opinion is, what their views are on those bills. The response I keep getting back is, I don't know yet. I haven't read the bills yet. I'm not familiar with the bills yet. Is that a reasonable response from a state representative?
Well, at least he didn't ignore you.
I had to email him 3 times now.
Well, so do you want to tell us who it is or no?
No, I don't want to burn somebody's name.
Okay.
Until I find out necessary. The last time I did, when I finally did speak to him, he got so frustrated, he told me I should just run for his office.
Oh, okay. Well, that's that's never a good plan. So the reality is, legislators, and especially the part-time legislators in the state House and Senate, they're real people like everybody else. So that means some are organized, some are not. Some are good business type people and good at admin, and some are not. I remember being down there in the Senate, and there was one legislator who didn't even know how to work email. And then there were others like, you know, we would sit there and answer emails while we were on the floor of the House or Senate and just work through as much as we could to answer people. Now, I will tell you this. Every one of them in the House, they don't have. But in the Senate, you can find your senator. They actually have a secretary in Montgomery who can take messages. And then what community do you live in? You're in Newmarket?
I'm in Newmarket.
Yeah, so I'm trying to think. So that's part of Madison County, correct?
Yes, it is.
Yeah, so the Madison County delegation, I think they actually have a delegation office. You might want to look that up.
Gunnersville.
Okay, all right. So they.
Yeah,
right.
That's how I finally got hold of them. I called that office and spoke to the individual who mans that office for them.
Well, good.
But yeah, I was just wondering if that's a reasonable response.
At this point, probably not. They owe you a better answer than that, because I can tell you right now, if they don't know where they stand on school choice right now, that means they're not for it. I would, with respect to their position, I would let them know you're looking for clarity, because you want to, you know, and just keep on it. Don't let up. Scripturally speaking, like the lady who keeps knocking on the door of the judge, you know, that's all right, man. Listen, the music's playing. That means I'm going to break. Nate from Newmarket, thanks for the question. Appreciate you. All right. Legislators got to do a better job than that. You can't answer every email. I get it. But you know what? Once you're finally in touch, you got to be able to say, here's where I stand, and just let the chips fall where they may. All right, folks. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Coming right back, number 2 of the Triple Dipper, the Big Green Machine. Oh, my gosh. We'll be right back.